call this meeting to order. Did everybody have a chance to look over the March minutes that were sent out? And if so, is there any comments, questions, notations, amendments? And if not, would somebody like to make a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Ed seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. And now we'll move on to our financial reports. Ed?
All right.
Take it over.
Good morning.
Melinda circulated the two reports, the budget performance report and the balance sheet. And the budget performance report is through April, which is the 10th month of our fiscal year, which is 83% of our fiscal year. And so if you look at the second page, which is where we start our expenditures, the second column from the right, it has the percentage of our budget that we've used so far. The bulk of our budget consists of payroll and payroll-related expenses. That's the first several line items there. And you'll see that for the most part, other than, I guess, the one item, they're all 83% or less. The one item, which is retirement, that's funded for the year already. So there won't be any additional funding there. That's at 99%. So we're in good shape there. The areas where we are showing that we've overspent, sort of in the middle there, you've got contractual services showing $6,200 over, but there was a contract for the maintenance of plantings for the spring that was paid, and so that threw us over. That was not actually factored into our original budget. And then down below, under marketing, promotion, and special events, we're showing that we're over there as well. And those are, you know, things that we had planned. But if you look up under revenue, there's extra revenue under real estate taxes, and there's some extra revenue under donations that will make up for that. So by the end of the year, we should be in good shape. Melinda, is there any other comments you wanted to make?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, some of those charges for marketing and special events come out of the Main Street grant as well.
Yeah.
Which is in the revenue section. You'll see the $25,000. It'll
balance out.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, we're about $20,000 over on those couple of items, but there's about $20,000 of extra revenue as well. Mm-hmm. So it'll all.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, Melinda.
This is a reminder, we have this month in June for the rest of this fiscal year. Then we start the new fiscal year, July 1. That budget for the new fiscal year hasn't been formally approved yet by the Mayor and City Council. That's coming up probably in June.
Actually, yeah, the ordinances have been drafted and approved to start going. Our first budget orders will be at the end of May. It'll be approved the first Tuesday of June. So the budget has tentatively been approved for publication. So that is on track for adoption.
And we'll share that. Obviously, we'll share that with the board. The board will see that when it's final. Okay. So. I sent you guys my executive director report for May, and I'm not going to read everything as usual. Y'all can read it, and if you have questions, let me know. But I wanted to point out a couple of things. Under meetings, we had a really great meeting with a travel writer from Baltimore Magazine. Ashley Borkman set that up, and she and Ruth and I took this writer around, and it was great. She was here for 2 days. We had great weather the first day, like today, just beautiful. We went you know, talked about the project, the Baltimore Street project, took her all over downtown. She actually interviewed and met with several business owners. Hayden met her and talked to her for a bit. We had Gino and then Rhiannon at Queen City Scoop Shop that morning, that she just happened to run into some of them as she was walking around, so that worked out really well. So that was a great opportunity, and I understand from Ashley, and I'll confirm this, but that it's a chance that it'll be the cover story of Baltimore Magazine, which will be really great for us. And I think it's going to be coming up fairly soon, like August or September, so that will be good for our fall, you know, season. So I'll let y'all know about that. I also met this week with the Main Street directors in Frostburg and Oakland. We're kind of the ones that are out here in Western Maryland, and we're going to start meeting every few months together just to talk about collaboration and how we can pool resources maybe for possible ads or things like that, because our budgets are all small, but together, you know, we could probably be able to do some things like that that can help all of us. So we're going to continue those conversations. The Oakland Main Street director has just been promoted to the city administrator, so they're going to be looking for a Main Street director, but she's going to help in the interim and continue to talk with us about those things. So we are working on a very big refresh of our website, the Reimagine Cumberland website. You will already notice some changes if you go on there. We're using the Rediscover Cumberland logo on every page now. Some other things that have been added. We are archiving all of the information from the project into a tab on the website so people can still see it. We're going to create a photo gallery of the project, so all of the pictures that we took during the construction, which there are tons, and if people are interested, they can look at those and you know, see the progress of the project. And then it's going to have more information about in the beginning, or the front end of it, kind of Main Street, so that we are a Main Street community, and that, you know, we have our committees and this is what we do, and the events calendar is still on there. Anyway, y'all can go and look at it. Curly Red is doing that. They created the website and they are working on that now. I think probably all of those updates will be done probably in the next 30 days. And we can kind of relaunch it, even though you can go on it now. But it is redirecting. If you do rediscovercumberland.com, it'll go to it now. So we did some back-end work on that as well. I had the opportunity to speak with Bobby Smith about the Baltimore Street project at the City Administrator Conference, which I'm probably calling it the wrong thing, but Jeff asked us to speak, and it was the State Association of City Administrators, like Jeff, from all over the state, and we were able to present about the Baltimore Street project. Bobby kind of did, obviously, the more technical pieces of it, the infrastructure pieces. I talked about more how we worked with the businesses, the mitigation plan. We had great response, tons of questions, and then we brought all of them, or Jeff arranged to bring all of them down here late that afternoon when they were done with the conference workshops or sessions, to take them on a tour. We had a great tour, again, lots of questions. So it was really good to be able to connect with those folks. And in fact, we have a call, Bobby and I have a call with Westminster, and we're gonna do it all together. Westminster and with, gosh, what was the other town? I'll think of it in a minute. Because they are thinking about embarking on a project similar to ours and want to get some questions. They're going to have like their boards, their city administrators, and all on the call to kind of understand and what we did and get their questions answered. So these are all great opportunities. There was also a Remarkable Women Luncheon last month, and I spoke at that as well about the Baltimore Street project. I attended. Stu and Matt and I attended the Maryland Economic Development Association Awards. They had their conference in Cambridge a couple weeks ago, and we attended together the awards dinner on that Sunday night, and we received the project award, or the transformational economic development award for the year. So that was really wonderful, and we sat with people from Baltimore at our table, and none of them had been to Cumberland, some of them never, but most of them not in a long time, and so I think we convinced them all to come this fall, so they're all like making reservations on the Polar Express and all that. So it was great exposure for us. Just coming up, we have to the Project Restore grant is still going on, and I am working with each of the three properties. We've got one that's already gotten the money, and they're like going to town on setting up their business. We have the other two that I will be requesting payments for them probably in the next 30 days. The turnaround for the money is pretty quick. It's usually about 2 weeks that they can get going on their spaces as well and get those businesses have to be up and running by December 31st, so all that's moving along. And then our Main Street, this is grant season for the Main Street program. I had to do the progress report on the Main Street grant we received in 25. Now I can do the final report and request the money, which does usually take longer to get. They're trying to get better about that. And then I'm applying, the deadline for the fiscal year 26 grant is a week from Friday, the 16th. So I'll be working on that the next couple of days and most of next week. Although I think I'm going to, we have the day of sharing, caring and sharing on Friday. So my plan is to submit all of those Wednesday. Just to make sure I have a cushion of 2 days in case something happens to the system. It always kind of makes me nervous with the state. So we're going to apply for the Main Street Improvement Grant. Will be mostly marketing projects to help us now that we have this beautiful new downtown. How are we marketing it and be able to do more regional ads? Dave's going to be doing a couple of videos for us, and so we're going to be able to have money with this grant to place those regionally on Comcast and digital platforms. And then we haven't applied for a couple of years for the TAG grant, which is the Technology Assistance Grant, so we're kind of looking at maybe doing that again this year and what that might look like. I have a call with Girl State, who's over the TAG grant. I have a call with her tomorrow to kind of talk through some options, so I'll keep you updated on that. That's kind of about it for the Harbor report, unless anybody has any questions or anything. Okay. So to transition into the next thing on our agenda, which is the update on the DDC structure, and Larry and Jeff are going to kind of lead that conversation, but I'm going to speak first on that before we move on to them. And they're going to explain more about this, but I wanted to let everybody know that I am resigning from the DDC effective tomorrow. However, I am going to take a new position with the city that is business development and Main Street manager. It's a little confusing, but we're going to explain it to you guys today and continue to have conversation about it to make sure everybody's clear about how it's going to work. So I'm not going anywhere. It's just my role is going to change somewhat. I will still be in charge of all the Main Street grants. I will be the rep for the town, and you know, when we have meetings and the conference and things like that, I will go to those. But my other piece of the job is business development, so I'm going to be working closely with Jeff and Ruth and some others on working on developing and addressing vacant spaces that are not just in the DDC district, but around the city as well in different areas that we've identified that need some attention now that the Baltimore Street project is complete. And so it's a bit of economic development, business development, that type of thing. And so that'll be part of the job as well. And we can answer questions about that. There is a job description, which I can share. But so with that, I'll let you guys talk about the bid, kind of what's going to happen with the DDC is not going away right now, and what that will look like.
Okay. Well, I guess I can start if you want me to, Jeff.
Sure.
So coming out of the, just a very, very quick history of where we are to get to today, when the Baltimore Street project was undertaken and that effort went through, you know, we looking at the post landscape, if you will, of what that would look like. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was the DDC and, you know, the heritage or the legacy of the DDC was that it was formed to pay the bond for the original pedestrian mall project in the late 70s, 77, I think. And do we, now that the structure is, that it's been restructured as to what that is, how do we maybe step into the future? Do we need to take a look at that? And this came out of our five Main Street committees. One of them was the restructure committee, and there's several people in the room that had participated in that committee. One of the things that that committee decided was we wanted to deal with the tax assessed on building owners to make it more of a value in, value out as to what they're paying, they get. So that could be whether it's, you know, whatever the function of the building is, the commonality of maintaining the physical space in the historic city center, the new planners, the things that need to be done, but to make that more equitable so it's, it becomes not necessarily a deterrent because it's a little bit lower fee, blah, 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 but almost like a HOA, if you will, or maybe in a shopping center, how there's a common fee. So. From there, I went and we had met with Jeff, and Jeff was very instrumental in discussing, okay, what are some things we can do? What would the city be interested in doing? And we began those talks, and one of the things that we decided on to make it cleaner is to this idea of creating a business improvement district that would take the responsibility and the fees collected thereon to take care of things. And actually, Dave Romero and Becky Furlman had done a good job. We went back and forth and created a wonderful flow sheet that some of you, if you own properties, have seen this, you know, as we're trying to petition to gather that. And it really spells out how that's going to break down. And Melinda's already alluded to the Main Street, Maryland. In services, it just gets restructured. It's put in a different way. We're not really stepping back and losing anything. It just takes us forward into the next phase of what we want to do. So, make a long story short, the business improvement district would take care of things like the stuff that's a common good, the shoveling of the sidewalks for the snow. The maintenance of those sidewalks and parklets, a lot of the things that Steven's doing now, the professional care of the new plantings, paying for the seasonal changing the flowers, that would all go under the bid, so vis-a-vis the building owners, because they all benefit from having a nice thing. And this could be done in a very flexible way with 1099 contractors and things like that. It becomes its own 501c3 corporation. There's a whole standard for how you set that up in the state of Maryland. There are bids around the state of Maryland. They're quite common around the country. So there's that component. The Main Street Maryland, which is already in process, which the DDC has dabbled with, Melinda would continue to be the lead of that through her new position with the city. That would create its own 501c3, and I believe that's already under process. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot cleaner, because that's something that even if we weren't going into this new thing, I think that would be beneficial regardless, structure-wise, for money, getting grants, things like that. That's where your event planning and marketing and things that Main Street Maryland's do and Main Street communities across the country do. Would be in that element. And then the city of Cumberland plays a role in some of the stuff like the actual infrastructure, if the fountain breaks down, things that the city is inheriting, and I do believe the Portland Loos would come into that. And Jeff can speak to that. I mean, Jeff and I have sat down and we kind of did compartmentalize and sort of do the thing, and that's what you see in the flow chart.
So is this flow chart still valid then, based on the conversations between the city and the
actually
DDC?
I think it's advanced closer to.
Okay.
I think so. I think everything that is.
This was done like a couple months ago, and I'm not sure.
Well, if you look at the flow chart, I think everything that's transpired and what Melinda and Jeff have done with the positions actually is very much to the essence and spirit of that of that flow chart. There's nothing where we are sitting here right now in this DDC meeting that's varied from that plan that I can see. In fact, we're right on that. You know, the big thing is we have got to get to our bid creation
right.
thing. And there are some, for whatever reason, I mean, it only benefits the property owners, but if you know, we can't get there, then we can look at doing something else with the DDC. But so that's my take on it. And Jeff, if you want to jump in there,
sure.
please do.
Okay.
Yeah.
As Larry, you know, alluded to, you know, there was all, we were hoping that the bid would be able to start, you know, July 1st, in fiscal 26. However, you know, we know now that there's a delay. But as we were ramping up, because we envisioned, you know, Melinda moving over into an expanded role, I went to the city council, and the city council agreed that it would be better to bring her, if we can start this, bring her over now. And it gives us a twofold advantage. One is it gets us started, especially as we're looking at the Virginia Avenue corridor and working up on another area, but also to manage transition. This transition from the DDC to a bid to, you know, city providing services isn't going to be able to be accomplished by flipping a switch. This is going to be probably a year of transition of working together, going over some bumps, filling some potholes, and then figuring out how it's going to align. So as we envision the position, you know, Melinda is, you know, small business, we really haven't come up with the exact title yet for our business cards, but we'll have that by July. But what she's going to do is she's going to be kind of boots on the ground. But now she's, you know, she doesn't have the fence up. She can step outside of the downtown the district. So she's going to be small shops, business development, community engagement, you know, try to fill storefronts, work with us, take some of our grants coordinator coordination. Because right now she's going to take some that Ruth from the Historic Preservation is doing. But, you know, as we don't have a large staff, by giving the city an extra staff, it really expands our horizons and, you know, distributes the workload a little bit more equitably. And with Main Street, this is probably one of the most important parts of separating this position now, is that there's statutory requirements to be a Main Street community. We don't want to do anything to pause that or to have anybody question us. So by bringing it into the city, that way, you know, we'll have control of the Main Street, and Linda will be the manager, you know, and it'll be easier for us to fund Main Street activities through city funding. I mean, the council, you know, as we're moving away from providing funding to external agencies with no control, you know, I think the Main Street is a vital part, and we're looking to expand our Main Street also up the street. So, you know, right now the envision is that the board will stay as the Main Street board now, mm-hmm. and then as we get deeper in the process next year, you know, we'll probably transition over to a new Main Street board. So right now, I think probably the main part is keep the board intact. Possibly, you know, I would suggest pausing the committees, because I think we need to have a realization of what Main Street committees actually do in the context of Main Street. Who do they advise? Who do they give their input to, and how they work? So what we'll do is, you know, through the transition, we'll develop the new Main Street board, and then put you know, the functioning Main Street committees under the framework of Main Street, National Main Street, in place. And what Main Street will allow us to do is engage more with business owners, because those are the folks who benefit most from the Main Street concepts are the business owners. Because the goal is to move traffic into the street, from the street into the shops. So, you know, as the DDC has one more year left right now, so you know, we envision that your functions will remain the same. Funding the activities, you know, taking that. However, you'll lose a big portion of your expenditures for Melinda's salary and benefits. So that'll free up more cash for your operations.
Yeah.
And then as we develop this, and Melinda's going to work a lot with our allied agencies, the CDC, the county, the chamber, DCBA, and, you know, we'll have that person online. And we really look forward to having a little bit more presence, boots on the ground, and community engagement as we build what we do.
Can I say a couple things?
Sure.
That's great. So the DDC has a set of bylaws that were written years ago. So we'll have to do new bylaws for the new Main Street organization, because they will be different. So that's something we'll kind of be thinking about and working on over the next year. The other thing is, getting my salary and benefits off of the DDC budget does free up money, which is great, that the DDC can use for other things. But I've talked to Doug and Ed and Larry, we've talked about that they will be hiring a contract position to oversee the events. So that'll be Friday after 5, the tree lighting, small shop Saturday, New Year's Eve, the winter festival. I will not be doing those anymore. Now, and I have, obviously I will help train the new person and get them up to speed. I'm not just gonna hand them a notebook and walk away. So that's good that I'll still be around, that I can answer questions for them as they, and I sent a draft of a suggested job description to them last week, just to kind of help start figuring out how they wanted to promote that position. It'll be contract, I think.
It will be.
Part-time, yeah, it won't be a full-time position. So just so y'all know, those events will still happen, and I've already like booked and everything's taken care of for Friday after 5 for June and July. It's done, so the person can, if you get somebody in by then, I will take care of the June event that night, you know, to make sure everything's running smoothly.
I have a question. One of the items that we haven't talked about in this transition are the contractors we're going to need for the plantings and the trees. That falls under.
I have an answer on that.
Okay, because
yeah.
that's to me that
so,
is time sensitive and critical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a executive meeting, Ed and I and Scott and Doug and just looking at. After Melinda, and you know, she's leaving, and taking a look at the line items that were left in there, and maybe prioritizing, and we do want to change that budget up a little bit, Melinda, the DDC budget.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first priorities we want to do is take those seasonal plantings and all that, so that's not a discussion point. We're going to build that right into the budget, so going into this fiscal, this transition year, that will be taken care of by the DDC. So we don't have to have this be a topic, you know, and we think that we can do that. We think we can do that. Quite frankly, that comes up a little bit on the priority list. And so to answer your question, so in a way.
Have you already been working on that?
It's done for the spring.
For the
it's
spring.
Done for the spring, but that was a one-time shot.
Bill, it's done.
But we talked about reaching out and having that transitioning all the way through, as Jeff alluded to, July 1, 2026. Which was we're hoping that at that point then the bid takes over, but essentially the DDC would sort of backfill in and act as what
yeah.
the bid's going to do in that regard, and we think we know that the money can be there, right? It becomes an idea of reshifting those priorities, and there
yeah,
are some.
I think that kind of because if we don't do that up front, that's going to. I mean, it's basically a wasted investment. So I think that even goes above.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that being
yes.
like the top of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, and it also takes away the stress and the conversations that we've had or that would, and we are, the spring is already done and that was already taken out of this year's budget, but yeah, that's going to be, we're going to bake that in, and we're probably going to meet again to hone that down. There's some areas where we can shift around. I think Jeff hit everything on, I see everything that has been moving forward to getting to what we had talked about a year ago. I think we're on track with this.
Okay.
I think the position, the work, what promotional work would be done going into this thing, it would be, you know, what we're thinking is like a coming up with a budget for that in 1090, you know, it would be a contractual thing with a company, a person, whatever, where they're getting paid a contract fee to do that service.
And Stephen, as y'all know, Stephen Dennison is our maintenance coordinator and does a fantastic job. He is staying. He will be here for the interim year, or the transition year, rather, and continue to do his job because he's already built into the budget, so
yep.
we're good for that. So he's guaranteed to be here. And if he left, you know, you'd have to hire somebody else, but the money is there to cover a maintenance person. Yeah.
Who will Stephen be reporting to?
Well, not me. so it's probably gonna be
Probably me.
Yeah.
The rest of the year.
Why you?
Because everybody else is too busy.
I gave Steven you
and
know,
I will
my
tell
number.
You he doesn't need
Thank you.
Honestly, Steven's wonderful and he knows his job well.
He's pretty self-supporting.
He's
he does.
Very self-sufficient.
Yeah.
He does not need a lot of managing. He and I touch base, I don't know, usually once a week on just, you know, stuff that's happening. But now, like, he knows how to fix, he has adjusted and fixed the waterfall. He like understands how to work all that stuff. He understands the loo now, all of that. So I think he's got a good handle on kind of the new, you know, downtown. So
well, will he be continuing with the city after this year?
we did make a commitment that we will absorb him because we always have. Yeah, he will be absorbed, and for the interim, whenever, you know, there's nobody, no staff member, he'll come under my administrative tree for payroll, for vacation, and for administration.
Sure. Will he be doing street cleaning? Because a lot of people have questioned that. The street itself, not so much the sidewalks, but.
No. The problem with our street is our street sweeper went down and we just approved purchasing a new one. So that's why some of our streets haven't been swept. And our old sweeper went down and it's just too expensive to fit. So we just approved a new purchase of a street sweeper and we're just waiting to get it online.
Actually, while we're on the topic of the streets, one of the things that somebody mentioned to me in the winter when they plowed, snow plowed,
mm-hmm.
apparently was catching the bricks, somebody recommended that we use a like a rubber blade or something so that we're not chipping up the...
Well, we'll just see. I mean, that,
okay.
We'll just see the cost benefit that
yeah.
of replacing a brick or putting something that's specific for
okay.
that street.
That small
yeah.
street.
Because we have the tractor,
yeah.
we call it the snow tractor, that does the sidewalks. I think he has a rubber blade for that, but I'll double check on it.
Right.
I'm
just reporting what I heard.
But yeah. But he can do the
Excuse
street.
Me.
Bless you.
Bless you.
So.
Okay.
Is there, I'm switching topics a little bit, the job description that you all are using to find the contractor? Is that something that can be shared?
Yeah.
Yeah, Becky, I think, and we're gonna have to do this maybe in a board meeting as we formulate that, but probably not only shared, but we probably will come up with a description of the services and then advertise it. Mm-hmm. So sharing it would be helpful.
Yeah, if we're talking about, you know, bringing in a contractor for less than a year,
mm-hmm.
I think that packaging it is, I mean, that's part of my day job,
mm-hmm.
My other day job. You know, so packaging that is going to be pretty critical to get somebody that not only has the skill set, but the interest to really own it.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
Invested.
We love your help.
I agree, yeah.
Okay.
I take that as I'll be reaching out to you on that again, yeah.
I'll send it to you right now.
They'll probably need to have this person, Becky, just so you know, not only the event expertise or experience, but also they're going to have to be able to do some social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know Taylor's been doing a great job on that, but we're probably going to need some support on that as well, or you will. For the e-news and the posts on Facebook and stuff, so.
Yeah, I will say that the city has created a full-time social media marketing public relations position, which will probably be filled in-house.
Who do you report problems with the street to? Like, I noticed in front of my shop where the manhole is or the sewerage is, there's a couple bricks that are popping up. And I'm worried about them, you know, that if someone gets under that one that's popping up.
I mean, if it's any, you can report to the city. You can either
okay.
call Public Works or call our main switch. Because, you know, the city owns everything. So, you know, and we're responsible for replacing, you know, every aspect on the street. So, yeah, just if you see that, if you can't go see Steven, you know, just, you know, call the city and just let them know. And then we'll get somebody to look at that.
And moving forward, then when we get past this transition phase, the repair of infrastructure, things like that, would be a city.
You know, if it's
yeah.
still under warranty, if you know if it's a real problem.
Yeah,
the bricks are under warranty,
yes.
but I don't know. We have extra bricks, like pallets of them too.
It's okay, but it's like up higher than the other one, so I mean, again, it's gonna get pulled out.
I'll get that to engineering, I'll get somebody to take a look at that.
Jeff, what do you think about me sending an email to all the business, you know, my whole list, business and building owners and constituents downtown? Just kind of a who to call for things?
Yeah, I mean, however you guys, I mean, that's part of the transition.
I'll be glad to do that, and that's a good point, Michael, because people may hear this and go, well, we can't call Melinda anymore. You know, I want them to know that there are people to call or to email or whatever.
Because, yeah, that's what we should have to work out the phone numbers and where your phone's gonna be. Melinda's gonna have a new phone number.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, the general email, once the info's plugged in.
Melinda, if you can include, because we had a problem and it took us almost 20 minutes to figure out how to call the police department.
Well, there's a non-emergency.
I wrote it down after that because I didn't want to call the emergency 911.
No, there's a non-emergency number. I'll include that.
We had to take 20 minutes to find the non-emergency number.
Public Works would be like if you saw like water seeping out of a sewer or a hydrant that would, you know, something like that that was clearly a problem.
There was three of us business people trying to find it.
And they're pretty responsive. I've called them.
Yeah, I mean, they were when we got a hold of
you. Don't want to call 911 on,
I just had somebody walking around that we thought they should really monitor what's going on.
Okay, well, I like the email idea. And just to summarize this, a couple things, and I really appreciate those that have helped, and of course, Melinda and some of the city staff. On the bid side of things, you know, we're at the phase now, I think we've done two mailings, and we have made progress. Just to reiterate on that, what has to happen is, I put together a database a long time ago. Sandy Seville and I started this actually a year ago, but we honed it down. We have to get 80% of the individual property owners by legal entity to say we're going to petition the city to create this bid. And then at that point, that's when we take it to Jeff, and it goes. And the mayor and city council, I did give a presentation to a couple months ago, and they understand what's going on. And then we would move forward there, but it's going to take, I think, some good old-fashioned hoofing it, gumshoe.
I agree.
To put it into real life terms, we need about 30 more petitions to get signed. We're over 50% now.
Yeah. I got one yesterday, so they are coming. We do the mailing, so they come to me at the mailbox here. So.
And I have a spreadsheet I've been putting in, like every time one gets in to update the percentage, and. I mean, nobody has expressed any opposition to it. It's like basically the sales pitch is pretty nice. It's like, hey, do you want to vote for this? It's going to be about 40% less of what you're. But it's just getting people to actually look at it, to respond.
Was there a due date on this next?
There was.
I've not seen the latest.
There was a due date on the one that we sent out, right? The last one.
So you only sent it to people that hadn't responded.
We sent it to the people that hadn't responded. Okay.
That's why I didn't
see it. And what I'd suggest, Larry, is once you get that. Hit the 80% threshold, is get it to me, then we can get everything done way before, so we're not crushing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can have it done by Christmas.
I think what you were alluding to earlier, like the idea of July 1, 2025, Jeff's going to need to, there's the whole legal process, right? So what the reason, one of the benefits of the bid is legally, once we petition, then Jeff can do the, on the back end side of it, the department that sends out the special tax bill would send out the bid bill, which is a fee, and if it doesn't get, it's a legal recourse. It like has to be paid like a tax bill, but there's a time. I mean, there needs to be time to do that. So even like, so I would like, that's why we put the deadline on there. I would like to get to that 80% sooner the better, and then while he's doing that, we can go through the legal process of creating the nonprofit 501c3. That stuff actually doesn't bother me. Like that, we can get that done. But it was like I didn't want to start creating all this until we knew we could move forward.
And from the city side, we're gonna need at least 90 days. That's if everything goes flawless, no meetings are canceled. You know, just to do our ordinances and our public meetings. are public hearings, everything else required by the code.
So I like the goal of maybe the end of the year, calendar year, to have.
That would be a great, that would be.
And then they would, after the holidays, they would have, you know, several months to do all their stuff before the end of.
I mean, ideally, it'd be, you mean by the end of the fiscal year, like by June, it'd be nice to be at 80% by the end of this June 30th.
That'd be great.
I'd like to have it wrapped up by Christmas.
Yeah.
The whole process.
Yeah.
That way, you know, we're not pushing, getting tax bills and all of a sudden, yeah.
Well, then when July 1, 2026 comes out, the bills that then would be the bid fees.
Right.
Yeah, that, I agree, that would be ideal. And you know, I've had, I have about 5 or 6 that I haven't got yet where people said, yeah, I'm gonna send that in to you. Okay, but you haven't sent it in, you know. Yeah.
Say you're resigning tomorrow?
What are you doing today?
Still what, 8 hours left in the work.
We're gonna send Doug around. He's gonna get those signatures. Yeah. Now, and we did do our legally. We did a public meeting, so that we checked that box, even though it was. And some people did come, which, you know, would have been packed. But again, it's really interesting. It's like people that, hey, this is going to benefit you and save you money, and you're not going to lose any services, still getting them the ability to respond and show up.
Well, and some of them don't live here. That's
part of
the challenge is some of the building owners do not live in Cumberland. So it's, you know, we've gotten several that have been returned to us. Taylor and I are researching those, and she mostly, just to try to figure out, like, where are they, and do we have a phone number to call them? And you know,
yeah, you got, and this was taken off the, what's actually legally on the
tax,
this tax rolls,
correct.
And it still comes back. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So.
And some of the bigger properties, it's like, it's not so much that there would be indifferent. It's, it might, it needs to go to the right desk, it needs to go to the right person.
Not,
it might go
right
to
the right person's not getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's a problem with CBIZ. I spoke to her. That's where our meetings are held.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She'd indicated they've received it, but they don't have anybody in the building that can make the decision, and they don't know where to send it to.
Yeah, it's wild. And it, like, would benefit them greatly, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's John Buchanan when you need him?
That's the irony. It's like they should be running the thing in, you know?
Stuff like this.
Well, I appreciate, first of all, Jeff, I really appreciate you attending our meeting and giving us an update, and I think what we'll do in the next 30 days is probably, I'll probably call the executive board again. I like to meet with that board, and probably over at Ed's offices, because he's gracious enough to host that, and I can steal the candy down there, so that's really good.
We need to fill it up.
But, yeah, but we'll keep moving forward with that.
So by the time we see the budget, it'll be set in stone, or is it for review and comment, or?
I would say
we should do
review and
review,
comment.
Yeah, we should review.
I think that would be a worthy goal, is for us to meet in the interim, and then by the time next meeting rolls around, to have, like, this is what we would see as an updated budget. That was one question. Is there any way, and maybe Melinda or Jeff, is there any way Ed can get a copy of that spreadsheet, that's so he doesn't have to type in? So
can
we
it
can
be
play
exported
with,
to Excel or no?
I
don't know the system.
It's
there's a
yeah. It's this thing here. It's out of your system.
That came from Mark Gandolfi. He sent that to me.
We should be able to export.
Yeah, I wonder what the software is.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's exportable.
There's actually a tab on the home screen. Yeah, I'll have it.
Yeah, if you
I'll
could export it to Excel, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, just save time on
it's
typing.
Exportable.
Okay.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff, is there anything else from your end that you can think of?
No.
We cover everything?
Have any questions?
Any questions? If not, I'm going to leave you to your meeting.
Okay.
Unless you need anything further.
No.
Go
ahead, Melinda.
I was going to say, how do you suggest that we let the other people that aren't here today, like, should I send an email that says?
I mean, everything's public. I mean, just inform them any way you want. There's nothing secret
right.
about
right.
it.
Right. Nothing. Before we, before I let you go, one thing too, just in the back of your mind, this has nothing to do with that, but out of the committees, I will pause those. The restructure committee, one other thing we never got to and something to ponder is and Stu was on that committee. You could speak to this too. One of the other things we did, and I know we're in all this stuff, was possible zoning for the new, for at least the historic city center, to looking at what legally could be done, just moving forward. You know, is there at some point that we look at, like, saying, hey, you can't have a methadone clinic, for example?
We've looked at, you can't zone out individual uses.
Okay.
We've kind of took a hard look at a lot of those things to try to get ahead of it. I mean, we can have a discussion, we can bring, you know, with our solicitor, and, you know, but it's very tough to take something and exclude, because then it becomes a civil rights issue, and
that's what I was wondering.
Exclusionary zoning, which is a no-no. I mean, we try to look to see if we can do, because we looked at food distribution, we looked at things that give free clothing away, because if a methadone clinic is basically considered a medical facility, so if that means no doctor's offices, no optometrists, no pharmacies. And it's almost impossible to regulate an entire thing because it's not a nuisance in the eyes of the law.
In the eyes of the law, yeah.
Eyes of those walking down the street, absolutely. All the secondhand shops, everything else, yeah, because it attracts
Well, and not that there's a need for certain services and things in the community, but, you know, just looking at it was just a discussion point, like, hey, this is our new, brand new thing. What do we want it to look like to visitors and that kind of thing?
And unfortunately, Maryland is very sympathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't allow vagrancy laws. They don't allow, loitering. It's just very difficult trying to, for lack of a better, satisfy the majority.
You act as if you've dealt with this issue over the last couple of years.
A little bit. I mean, yeah. Because honestly, when Melinda came to me right when construction was still there, and we tried, and we met with our solicitor to find ways to get ahead of it, and legally we just ran into, wall after wall.
And that was an eye-opening thing, even talking to Stephen the other day about what some of the extra time and services for certain spots.
Yes.
Just because of it ends up costing you money to deal with the after. I appreciate you commenting on that. That was just one thing that I didn't want to forget about. Is there anything else for Jeff?
Thank you, Jeff. Just to tag
on what you were saying about the zoning, is there any, because it seems to be a problem, according to Greg, with the cigarette butts. Is there any way to use the city's smoking ban to go after the individuals to basically find them enough time so that they get the idea that they're not welcome?
I mean, one, we have to see them throwing them away. I mean, it's smoking ban, quite frankly, is more ceremonial than anything. If an officer, police officer, sees somebody, they can cite them. But I'll tell you, lifestyle crimes are not taken seriously at the state's attorney's office, or they don't go to hearings, they don't go anywhere. So they don't pay. You cite them, but these people don't pay their fines. We've arrested people for our camping ordinances, for sleeping in public places. The state's attorney does not prosecute because his philosophy is that's a lifestyle crime. So we are bumped up against certain things. We've had many meetings with our police chief, with our solicitor, and even the council told us, do something. But it's very difficult because all we can do is enforce issue the citation. Then it has to go upstairs, it has to go up through, but it's not prosecuted, and these people don't pay fines. So
probably don't even show up for any kind of hearing.
Giving a destitute person a citation, what do you do? You don't have property to lean, we don't have any teeth. So we try, it's almost, almost harassed, just try to make it very uncomfortable for them by constantly hyper-enforcing and making it, and trying to move them on. We see in front of the curiosity shop that they gather there. I've called the police a couple times to get them out as I walk through or drive through. It's just, we have to systematically keep keep the pressure on, but it seems when we move one group away, another brand new group comes in. And we still can't figure out why Cumberland, that these waves of, and because it's not, they're not Cumberland people. You know, they're not residents of the county. These are people that come through, but sort of like Canadian geese, you know, once migratory, but then they take up a residence and then become resident geese.
And I will say, you know, I want our downtown to be welcoming to everyone, as long as people are treating it with respect. And that's
the problem.
Space down at the top, you know, of Baltimore Street has been a problem from day one that we opened it, and Stephen cleans it up 5 times a day.
Yep.
And I have gone and spoken to one of the merchants down there last week, and they are aware and they're trying to help me. So, and Steve.
I think one of the problems with the cigarette butts. Myself, I smoke, and I smoke out in front of my shop. I have ashtrays on my table. People will come across the street to put their cigarette butts in. I think because there's nowhere for them to put the butts, I still think that even though we're saying it's non-smoking, we need somewhere for them to put them.
Well,
so they throw them in the street because that's the only thing they have to do.
Well, I'll tell you why we have a smoking ban. Because we had receptacles up and down Baltimore Street, and they got vandalized, and the people broke into them to get the butts to smoke the butts. So that's why we had to remove them, because we were spending more money repairing the ashtrays as they were being vandalized. It's
wild.
Every time we try to do something, it's counteracted. And then it just becomes a point where...
That's why we took the lights out of the trees, by the way, because everybody's been asking me that. It's because the wires were being cut. And once they're cut, they're just trashed.
There's a huge number
them.
In the budget to replace them.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
We were
that's
floored by that.
Sure. Now, we are going to put... Stephen is going to, before Friday after 5, he's going to put solar lights around the trunks of the trees. Just the other thing was that it was pulling leaves off the London plane trees, and we didn't want that to happen. So we're not going to put them on the branches. They're too fragile right now.
I thought about just maybe an uplight or something.
But we could, like a solar light. But anyway, we'll keep trying. But I hear what you're saying, Michael, and I appreciate that you have ashtrays for people to use over there on your street. But
would it be more cost effective to have some friendly faces walking around town? Than trying to fix a problem after it's happened, being more proactive.
Supposedly the code enforcement people are.
I think that the code enforcement.
I know.
Is maybe the wrong word.
Should be ambassadors.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did say something to people down there the other day, and. The possibility shop lady came out with me and talked to the people, and she was great. And she basically said, you know, you guys cannot smoke out here. I've told you, they have no smoking signs in their windows of their
lease is up in a couple of years, isn't it?
2 years.
I've said stuff to people walking down the street and seen them throw a bus.
That's
yeah.
The real solution is to build
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, you just
got to
tell people.
And I understand.
Some
you,
people
want,
just don't,
you want a space.
You want,
they
yeah,
don't
you want
space, you know,
yeah.
So the market gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. I appreciate it.
It's
didn't
on
mean
our
it.
Agenda. It's on the top of our priorities. But we just—if anybody has a way to solve it.
The real long-term solution is the economic restructuring of that street becomes powerful enough where a landlord can get a tenant, a desirable tenant, because there's a foot truck, you know,
yeah.
The turnover and the goods
the
in there, and
the spirit
and,
of it.
And you know, and I understand a landlord that has a space that's been sitting empty and somebody's willing to come in and pay a certain square footage rent rate, whether you want that or to sit empty, but at some point where the market dictates where you get a better use kind of thing. That's the ultimate solution, but
we're
you know, I but also recognize the fact that, you know, we haven't been there, you know.
Especially having somebody work on it too in the future. Mm-hmm. It's gonna help a lot.
We'll get there.
We will.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff, for coming.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff, so
thank
much.
You
yeah, appreciate
thank
it very much.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Now we're in our public comment section. Anybody here wants to speak publicly?
Are we doing committee reports?
No, the committee reports are not on the agenda.
Okay.
If you wanted to mention something about that, you'd have to do it under the public comment, I guess.
Okay. All right, real quick then, for Clean, Safe, and Green, Dead Caring and Sharing is coming up. We are going to hold off on the planters on Merchant's Alley because there's supposed to be some scaffolding. So we're going to gather those planters and hold off on placing them. Dexter's and CBiz, and there's one other alley I cannot think of, we're still going to cover. Ed Mullaney from LBC attended our last meeting. Just a reminder, our meetings are open, so 4 o'clock on the fourth Wednesday of the month at the CBiz conference room. It's been brought to his attention by some businesses and Ed that the lighting on the sidewalks is very low now that people are out. They're getting a bit of feedback from the community that it's more brighter in the street than it is on the sidewalk. He's asked some of his businesses, like Melinda did, to keep the lights on at night to help light that. CBiz has come forward and been helping with those darker areas. Is there possibly a way we can look at putting a reflective substance underneath the light that would reflect that light that's going upward in the device to reflect it back down towards the ground? So it's something we wanted to throw towards you guys to see what your thoughts were moving forward. It's under safety, under green. So, yep, that's all we. Oh, and there's a grant coming out for e-chargers for bicycles that'll be available for business owners. So if businesses want to put e-charging devices in front, there's a state grant now available to do that. Any questions on Clean, Safe, and Green?
Cool. The reflective thing, Chris, I think, will you send me that in an email?
Yes, ma'am. Before tomorrow or after tomorrow?
Today.
That was meant to be funny.
Like right
tomorrow.
Now.
Right now.
And I'll be glad to send it to...
I don't know
that
if we
would
do
be
an experiment,
engineering
like take some
thing,
tinfoil
right?
or something
yeah.
and kind of stick it up there. And
see, I'm thinking
light.
Steven could do something like that because
yeah.
he's
Nate
really
was talking
handy.
About the street lights.
Because I know we can't change, but maybe we can just adapt what we've got without making it
yeah,
gaudy.
But send it to me and I'll talk to Steven about it.
Right.
You're talking about the pole, the new poles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I change hats?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Public comment components. Hey, I'm Chris Myers from Let's Beautify Cumberland. I'm the event coordinator for the Memorial Day Parade. One of the things come up in our meeting the other night is that the parade is coming, and we were hoping that the DDC today, before tomorrow occurs, could possibly put out a brief email encouraging downtown businesses that the parade is coming on May 26th, and that if they would please consider patronizing or putting some sort of supportive thing in their window for the amount of foot traffic that we intend to bring downtown.
Yeah, I can do that, Chris. What time's the parade?
The event starts at 10 a.m. Streets are going to start closing at 9. The parade after the memorial service will take place at 10:30.
Okay, so the service at 10 and the parade at 10:30. And I know the route. Tell me where the service is again.
Baltimore Street between Center and Liberty, right across from M&M and where the
oh,
stage
right,
is
right,
being
right.
parked.
Yep.
And to confirm, it's on our app. We're going to have electrical power from that back pole there. Steve will be able to provide that to us.
Well, I'll have to tell it. Which pole?
It's where the parking spots
getting
are.
Getting that budget thing.
For your service.
Yes, where the stage is being parked.
Yeah. Email back and forth on that. And then
okay.
Maybe
cross
we'll
from...
And start asking the questions.
Is that one of the things
that
you
don't
see
how take it out?
Yeah, you'll probably have to turn it
yeah,
on.
Yeah, because there's nothing
Friday.
In there for planters.
Okay.
Because
no,
he won't be here.
Okay.
But we know there's a lot
of
soft
there's
okay,
other stuff.
Okay, coordinate after.
Yeah.
So with him directly.
The
absolutely.
4,400
yeah.
we found
right
off the bat.
I'll do that.
Because
yeah.
he can unlock the little
the
box.
Box.
You know,
yeah,
and
travel.
And
we can keep the cell chargers out of it for you. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and actually he can unlock it, but it still looks like it's locked.
Main Street.
So he can show you how to...
But
so
yeah.
they're gonna have
were
to
you
it
the one that coordinated
yeah.
the stuff with Delfest? That they're doing the announcements at Delfest to make sure you come downtown. They did the videos and stuff.
No.
We
yeah,
did
they
that.
Came in the shop and did the videos. And
LBC did that.
I was wondering if the parade's being announced. They did because...
I have no idea.
LBC coordinated with the Delfest committee, promotions committee, to do promotional videos for businesses that will be open on Memorial Day in downtown, so they're gathering video footage of those businesses and talking with people to develop their product that will be aired during Delfest to promote people when you pack up on Monday, stop by downtown for bite to eat, to shop, the parade's this. Dell and his wife will also be in the parade. If you haven't heard, Roger's our grand marshal, so. But,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but it's
that's
it's,
cool.
It's bumping along nicely.
What, Chris, what was I going to say? You said something about the parade that you wanted me to tell people. Oh, something about what you want them to do in their
just
job.
Encouraging business owners to update or change or patriot, you know, put red, white, and blue in their windows.
Oh, okay.
Something.
All right.
Something patriotic.
Yeah, I can send that.
You have any opening in your store again, too? Reopening?
Well, we never actually had an opening, so we're going to reopen, yes.
Yeah, when is that?
June 6th. It's a Friday. 1 o'clock.
June 6th, you sure it's a Friday or is it a Saturday?
Pretty sure it's a
it's
Friday.
It's a Friday.
Okay.
I sent a...
Thank you, I saw that.
Invitation,
yeah.
So people would get it on their calendar, so...
Who would I go to since you're leaving? Because we're planning a grand reopening of my sitting space, probably the end of May, first of June.
Well, I mean, I'm still the Main Street person, so I could still help with that.
Okay.
That's fine. Just let me know. And we're just gonna. I'll just say to you guys, you just gotta all be flexible, and with this transition year, it's just gonna be.
We'll find our way.
A transition,
yep.
You know. But I certainly can help you with that. That's not a problem. And as soon as you get the new person hired to do events and stuff, then that will make it a little more clearer, you know.
Well, and I didn't.
Who's doing what?
I one thing I didn't want to bring it up and gum up the works per se, but you know, even going forward, at some point, these events that the DDC will do some of these going forward, but. Once we get past 2026, that's really Main Street, Maryland still in the events, not the bid.
Yep.
So you might want to think about
that personal
even,
comeback over
even,
to the
city. Well, the person that we get is going to be a contract.
But they can still be a contract person.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Just to, you know, thinking ahead here a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to do this, the cigar, Queen City Cigar Company, which I'm part of, grand opening is Thursday, June 5th at 4 p.m. We're going to
do you want to do a ribbon cutting?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to be out of town or off the 5th and 6th. Can you email that stuff to me?
Yes.
Okay.
I just wondered if you haven't picked a finalized date, maybe we do a spate of grand openings. All like a couple days in a row. It could be promoted as a, you know.
I'm also talking to Aaron that has the Mad Hatter because when he did his ribbon cutting and then it's still closed to redo a grand opening. So
yeah, I think it's taking him longer than he thought.
That happens with food.
Are we in the same window as you for what you're inquiring about? Accommodation. June 6th.
Say that again.
Are we in the same window as what you're proposing?
Yeah. I did. June 5th is what ours is going to be. June 5th at
okay.
4. Yeah. So I was thinking, maybe if we could promote
what's
it in such
name
a way.
Of the Queen City Cigar.
Queen City Cigar Company.
Company.
Where is this going to be?
Did you say you send an email?
It's right by Mezzo's in the front of that.
The old cigar
bar. The old
used to be
La Grotta's
okay.
Place. It's been sitting sort of.
Empty
for a long time.
The downstairs
so,
or?
No, it's all, it's Suite 100. It's in the front, so you go up the steps, and there's a little common area, and then
yeah,
there's
the
door
right.
to go in the mezzos.
Where the pool table is?
Yeah, that's all going. That's going
to
be a full store in there, full cigar
nice.
Store. And then the members' lounge where you can buy memberships and humidor memberships, that kind of thing.
It already smells like cigars. So.
Yeah.
I haven't sent out anything yet.
Okay. Because I'll look at June 5th, because I don't have a date yet. And I already talked to the radio station.
Okay.
And I won't be here, but I can certainly...
I wanted you to come and smoke a cigar.
That's never happening. No offense.
No offense taken.
But I could see, because Taylor works till 4:30, so she might be able to come
mm-hmm.
and take pictures and bring scissors and all that stuff for you. Larry, what do you think?
June, I think it's the 5th. Yeah, June 5th, Thursday, June 5th at 4 o'clock.
Can you send that to me so that I can try to coordinate with
the
lady you got to see.
I wonder if I can, I don't know how to do that from my phone. I have it in my phone. I'll just...
Wait a minute, I'll call this 5-year-old. Go do it for us.
Yeah, exactly.
You're someone younger than you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, Larry, do you want me to go ahead and send something out, an invitation for that ribbon cutting, or do you want me to wait until you coordinate with Michael? Or are you pretty set in stone?
Well, we're not set in stone. I could still... the chamber is going to get involved with that too, so
okay.
But maybe we can talk real quick after the
yeah.
meeting. Yeah.
Okay, let me know.
And then I'm thinking, you know, and there may be, if there's enough of if there's three or four openings that week, we could even do a general, like, hey, you know, a spate
yeah.
of ribbon cuttings.
Yeah.
Come and
okay.
promote all.
Well, I'm not going to send anything else out then until you tell me.
Okay. But I that's going to be awesome if you could help us with that.
Yeah,
getting
it's
that
easy
out.
To send stuff out. And then it gets on people's calendars and they don't forget,
you
yep. know, so. Okay, I have to go in a minute to go to something else.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions for me or?
Thank you for all your service.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Past thank you for
thank
what you've
you.
Done for the DDC.
Don't make it like she's yeah. leaving.
Yeah, not leaving.
She'll just be right next door,
it's,
yes.
Just change
yes.
the title.
Yeah, well
so.
We appreciate it.
And adding more aggravation to her life.
Well, thank you, everybody. Drew, thank you. Oh, Rock, sure.
I'd like to remind everybody on the parking, the free parking, that it was a temporary thing. So any feedback you can give to City Council about that you think is helpful.
Talking about the 1 hour on Baltimore
stuff.
Street?
Beg your pardon?
The 1 hour on Baltimore Street
yeah.
you're talking about?
That was temporary?
Oh, man.
Pretty much. I mean, that was what was yeah. decided.
When does it?
If you remember, we asked about a trial.
Are you looking for feedback right now or something more formal?
I just say keep it in mind. So.
Do you know when it ends?
Well, everybody talked about 6 months today.
Yeah. We need to keep our eye on the prize.
Question about when that,
well,
what was the start date for that?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I can tell you that it's right in my front yard. I see it all the time. Turnover has been great.
Yes.
There's always a couple of spots open, and when people pull in, I see them do their business, they get back, and then they move. So I think the 1 hour free parking downtown Baltimore Street is working. My tenant on the first floor, retailer, it's since the street opened
that's
and we've got this park, it's working
that
great. So I think it would be a disaster to try to monetize it for a number of reasons. One, the technology, and B, people are just going to park there, and it just, you know, there's not a whole lot of spots. But right now it's turning over and it's working. I see people using it.
I got it.
I just wanted to remind you of that, that it is temporary. The other thing I wanted to mention,
we need to stay on that because
you're real, real close friends with our chief of police. He's a very approachable guy. Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a approval of a grant for bike patrols, and the first thing Jimmy Furstenberg and I thought about was the kinds of things you were talking about downtown. Mm. I don't know how much of a deterrent that is, but it has to help a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's
yeah.
Great.
It seems like there's a lot more presence with walking police downtown.
I think so.
They have been patrolling
Captain Bertie
a day or two, a time or two per day.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more, but
well,
it's
we
nice to see
the,
it's something. It's
when,
a start.
When our committee spoke to the chief a few months ago, because it was winter, we had mentioned like maybe including like at the start and end of their shift that they do at least 2 blocks downtown as part of their physical fitness component.
Yep.
And the chief said he would take that back to their group.
We also asked him about, since they're not, I don't think there's any German shepherds left that look, you know, to wouldn't hurt to walk down through
sure.
there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
With the dog.
Well, I will tell y'all that the code enforcement officers, and I don't disagree with you about the title that they have, but Chris Enzer, who's one of those guys, and he's been doing it for a long time, and they're all good, but he's really
great.
They're all good. But Chris told me that he sat on the bench outside the possibility shop just to kind of experiment, and when he sat down, they all got up and left.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, well, that's interesting. So Stephen was down there cleaning around there recently, and Chris was walking up down patrol. And Chris went over there, and when they both were there, they left. So it's a good indication that when somebody of some sort of authority is
yep.
around there, they're behaving and they're,
yep.
or scattering, you know. So I do think somebody foot patrolling and all does help.
Lobby the chief.
For what it's worth.
It does
He's
help.
Got a lot of needs, let's face it.
Yeah.
Then we get a cardboard cut out of the chief.
See,
face like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one, and you guys would know much more about this than I would, but the possibility shop, we've talked about that when it was brought to our attention. And I don't know, within the spirit of $17 million investment down there, I don't know how many of the business owners are absentee owners, but the possibility shop got me thinking about the long term is if the building owners can be convinced, I know it could be sticky, but of who you do lease to.
Mm-hmm.
And within the spirit of what we're all trying to do downtown.
Yeah, and the people that own
that
building are
be controversial, like we're, you know.
We'll leave that to the bid to do.
Yeah, it boils down to the market forces at play.
Yeah.
If you have other possibilities to not have
so much going on, maybe
yeah.
You know what I mean. If they
yeah.
market it, they're building differently now, given what's going on down there. They, what we say, Larry,
they're
desperate to get somebody in there, but
issues.
But all things being equal, and you think they would want something different there because it affects their other storefronts.
Yes,
so
that's right.
And they are aware of it, I think, those particular
they are.
Owners.
Are they?
Yes.
They have cameras?
Yes.
Is it?
Should be part of the surveillance system.
Should be, yes. Yeah, the surveillance system should be covering that. Like there's a camera across the street, maybe on Peskins or somewhere over there. I can't remember. You
yeah.
can see them.
Yeah, I thought there was good coverage all
yeah.
downtown.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the owners of the building, it's the McMullen building,
mm-hmm.
they are very aware of the challenges and are trying to figure it out.
Well, that's good
spoke,
news right there.
They have spoke to the tenant because doing things like soup kitchen and the handouts that they were doing was not within their lease. So they've pulled back on them about doing stuff that's not permitted.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping maybe the city could help them find another location, but I know they're going to say they want to be centralized, and I get that. But
centralized.
Well, they could still be
else.
Centralized
yeah.
and not be on that block.
Not on Baltimore Street.
Not on Baltimore Street.
Yeah. I was hoping maybe they'd look at the old Union Rescue Mission.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay,
yeah.
I have to go.
It will be
and
for
I have
sale.
To take my phone with me, so I have to hang up on you. I'm so sorry.
Was that Drew?
All good.
But
I'll see you guys here in the next time. I'll be home in 10 days.
Oh, good. All right. Well, safe travels to you.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, Rock. I wanted to say what Dave said. Like, you know, and I'm not invested because I put a lot of time in lobbying that. I'm seeing the same thing in front of that. The spots are turning over, and it's really actually working really
it
well.
Is.
The 1 hour parking is working very, very well
it
on Baltimore Street.
Yeah.
It would be a real crying shame to screw that up because
mm-hmm.
the feedback is positive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll forget that it was temporary.
Maybe.